I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me.
Lord, we're so thankful to be here today. And Father, I pray that any distractions at our heart and our mind right now would just fade away. We would be so focused on hearing from You. Lord, that You would speak to us individually and personally this morning. Have Your way now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're in Luke 18. The title of the message this morning is, What Are You Desperate For? And I've been thinking about this with thinking about fasting and what I'm going to fast from, and then what am I fasting for? Luke 18, verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, and he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, Receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So as I'm reading this and I'm thinking about this week, and first thing that I see is that he was desperate. And even when everybody says, shush, be quiet, he was desperate, and what did it, them shushing him and just made him get all the louder. No, I need help here. I need someone's help. I need Jesus this morning. Y'all, sometimes at church, it's almost like we feel like we're shushed. Maybe the people sitting in our pew or in front or behind us, or you just feel like, oh, I can't really cry out. I can't really, get desperate. They'll think I'm crazy. I remember being at a church one time and a service with Brother Murphy up in Huntington one time. And this young person during the song service had came forward and just began to weep and wail and weep and wail. And Brother Murphy finally just started preaching. And he just said, he's having a time with God right now. And he went on. And the kid just sat up there and cried and wailed. You know, they'd had people pray for him and everything else. Y'all, that young person was desperate for God. They didn't care who was around, who saw. They didn't care if anybody was shushing or not. And I wonder sometimes how many of us, we really have that desperation for God in our life. What are we really desperate for this morning? Maybe it's like we talked about last week, have nothing have control over your body, you know. We read in 1 Corinthians 6:12-13, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for the food. And I challenged y'all last week as you're praying this week about what you're going to be fasting over, what you need cut out of your life, and what has mastery over you. Maybe this morning you're desperate for God and you're fasting and you're saying, God, this thing in my life has too much control over me. It's funny, I got a text message this morning when I woke up. I had a text on my phone from someone here, and they said, man, I didn't realize how quickly cutting this out of my life would affect me. I have a terrible headache and I'm feeling sick. I almost gave in already. That's how quickly when you're so used to something in your body and all at once you cut it out. So maybe this morning, if Jesus reached down and He says, "What do you want from me?" Maybe it's like last week, and I know not everybody was here last week. Something has control over you that shouldn't. Maybe this morning you're desperate for that thing you're to be free from. But my question is, how desperate are you for that? Maybe if Jesus looked down this morning and said, "What do you want from me?" you might have some loved one that's sick, has cancer, some loved one that something's wrong with him, and you'd say, "Jesus, I would like you to touch that person and be healed." Maybe this morning, if Jesus was to look down and he says, "What do you want from me?" you'd say, "Well, I need joy in my life. I need peace in my life." Maybe you'd be like, "I want the church to double in size. I want the lost to be saved." I don't know. Do you know? I mean, really, do you know what you would answer that? How you would answer that if Jesus reached down this morning and said, "What do you want? What do you want?" I mean, it can come quick, but when you really stop and meditate on it a while, what do you want? I don't know if I even know what I want. I mean, and here in this story, I've always thought it was interesting. The man was blind. Jesus could see that he was blind. So why did he say, "What do you want?" I wonder sometimes in our life if there's things that's so obvious to others, and maybe even so obvious to us, and we think God ought to know, "That's what I want," but we've never really even asked Him. Does that make sense? Did that come out right? I don't know if that came out right or not. Well, of course, God, I want to be able to see. Of course, God, I want to be delivered. Of course, God, I want this or I want that, or I want my family to be well, or I want this sick person healed, or I want this new job, or whatever. Have we really thought about what are we fasting for? What are we seeking God for? Maybe it's the freedom. Maybe it's something more than that. Let's go back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. And for many of y'all that's endured me for these last several years, you know that Nehemiah is one of my favorite books. And I could go to it more often than what I do. I try not to go to it as much as I'd like to, but I just love the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. And he says, "They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Y'all, when I read that and I think about where his heart was, that he wept, he mourned, he fasted, he prayed. And I think, is there really anything in my life right now that moves me that much? To mourn and fast and pray and weep and cry out to God. Is there anything in your life that moves you that much that you're so desperate? God, if you don't come through, God, if you don't help, I'm in trouble. Can I tell you, there's things in my life that I should be that desperate for, but I can't honestly say that I am. To be at the point of weeping and crying out and fasting and praying. Verse 5, "Then I said, 'O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and obey His commands.'" I think that's interesting the way that he says that. The great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and obey His commands. See, I think oftentimes in our modern church and trying to be politically correct and how much God loves and blessings from God and blessings from God. Nehemiah here recognized that God keeps His covenant with those who love Him and obey His commands. I think that's oftentimes forgot today. Verse 6, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. You hear that? He's praying day and night and day and night. Yeah, whatever you're fasting from, and I know not everybody in here is fasting, but if you're not fasting, you can still have this mindset. Is there anything in your life right now that you're praying day and night about? That you just think about it. It's just there. And you're desperate for God. God, I need you. God, you need to, I need you in this circumstance. I need you in this situation. I need you, Father. And hear the desperation that it's consuming his mind. It's consuming his thoughts. And what I've found in my life, and I really think it's true for most of us in here, if it don't affect me, it don't concern me that much. Is that not really how we are? That's someone else's problem. That's someone else's issue. That's not my issue. That's not my problem. See, here Nehemiah, he's comfortable. He's with the king. He's at the palace. But he's seen what's taking place at his homeland. And he's seen the disgrace and that the walls were broken down. The gates have been burned. And that the place is in a mess. And his heart breaks. Can I tell you something? We don't have to look very far to see things in a mess. How many of us are crying out for our country? It don't matter if you love Trump, if you hate Trump, if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, whatever you are. When was the last time that you cried out to Jesus for our country? And that you wept and you prayed night and day and that it concerned you? When was the last time you cried out for your neighbor? For the people down the street, for the people in the community, for the little kids at school. Well, my family's good. I'm eating plenty. I'm all right. Yeah, I say a little prayer for them and a little cry out for them, but night and day, Pete, are you crazy? I wonder if we don't see the move of God in our lives, in our personal lives, in our church, because we're not really desperate for it. He was desperate, crying out and praying. And then he says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. See, right there, I believe, is where we all need to begin. Confess our sins. Our sins personally, the sins of our community, the sins of our churches, the sins of our country. He's saying, I confess, Lord. We've not been doing what we were supposed to do. We've not been living the way that we were supposed to live. We haven't been following the commands the way that we did. Verse 7, we have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. You know, what I see in most people's lives today is a justification for the wrong we do. Well, you don't see the way that they were acting towards me. Well, they were being mean to me, so I was mean right back. Well, my daddy didn't give me enough hugs and tell me how much he loved me. My mom wasn't there. Well, and so I'm this way because of this. Is anybody getting anything at all this morning? We justify our actions instead of just saying, God, I've been wicked, I've been evil, and I'm sorry. It don't matter who did what to me. I've acted wrong. I need to repent. And God, not only me, but my community, my family, whatever. Not justify. Not, well, they did this, so I felt like I should do that. I don't know all the big psychological terms and all that, but these people that are murderers and then they have no remorse and no regret, and they almost act justified in what they've done. What's that called? A sociopath? And I think, how many people, maybe we're not murderers yet, but man, we justify our actions. I have some people that I work with, and y'all, whew, they wear me out. And I just had a guy say something to me this week. Oh, shoot, I'm fighting. Oh, who do you think you are? You know what I did? I picked up my stuff and I walked out the door as I'm biting my lip because, boy, I wanted to tell him, who do you think you are? The way that you treat everybody around here, the way that you talk to everybody. Maybe I should bow down to him. You know, he reminds us every week he's got his college degree. Y'all, people justify their actions and we justify our actions. And you know what? I justify my actions at work sometimes and the way people act towards me. So I'm ugly right back or, you know, I didn't get my way or somebody said something to hurt my feelings. So I'm going to say something right back to hurt their feelings. When we want to see God begin to move in our life, I think it needs to begin with repentance and not excuses. Repentance. God, I've acted wickedly. God, I've not obeyed the commands, the decrees, the laws that are set forth in this book. God, when I felt that check in my spirit to not say that thing, to not send that text message, God, I didn't do it. And you know, I think sometimes that what can be scary as Christians, and maybe I'm just talking to myself today, but sometimes what can be scary as Christians is maybe when you became a Christian, well, not maybe, when you became a Christian, there has to be a realization of being lost and needing a Savior and asking God to forgive you of your sins and confessing your sins and repenting and turning from that. That's happened in your life. Hopefully every one of you that's happened in your life. A moment in time that you confessed your sins and said, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. But then I think almost what happens sometimes as Christians is that we get so busy, we forget to ever repent. To ever recognize that, man, I blew it today. And hopefully, we're walking close enough with the Lord that as soon as that moment happens, right then, there's the Holy Spirit says, Pete. I say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have sent that text message. I shouldn't have acted ugly. I shouldn't have done this. And hopefully the Holy Spirit is there in each and every one of us that it's reminding us at the moment we might fall short. But I believe sometimes in my life, sometimes I forget at the end of the day to just stop and pray and examine myself and confess where I've fallen short, confess when I've been rebellious, confess when I've been disobedient, confess when I've justified my actions. Verse 8 says, remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizons, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayers of your servant who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was a cupbearer to the king. I think it's interesting here that he says, remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you. But if you return to me and obey my commands, and even if you are exiled people at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen. So So this is talking about a specific time, okay, in a specific people, the Jewish people. But God is no respecter of man. And what I want to convey to you this morning is that even if you've gone and rebelled and turned your back on God, and maybe you feel like you're out in the desert this morning and you're sitting here with us this morning, but you're not really with us and your heart is far from us. Y'all, that if you repent this morning, if you cry out to God, He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. He'll bring you back. But I just wonder how many of us are that desperate for God. How many of us have cried out to God? How many of us have confessed our sins? How many of us have studied the Scriptures? He says, in here, your Scripture says what your commands were we haven't obeyed. And I wonder sometimes, have you guys ever been so desperate for God? Like, okay, say you need a healing on something. Have any of you ever, we used to do it, look in the back of your Bible, you find the word healing, and you looked up every verse on healing. Now what I do is I Google healing verses, and they all pop up on my phone. And then, you know, that's just, you know, something. Have any of y'all ever been so desperate for something in your life? God's promises, God's provision, God's healing, God's deliverance. And you looked up the Scriptures. And you began to meditate on them. You began to pray on them. You began to store them in your notes. You posted them. You done whatever you needed to do because you were so desperate for God to come through in your life. Has God become your only hope? John 6 Verse 66 says, from this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Verse 67, you do not want to leave us too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. When I'm reading all this and I'm thinking, God, have you become my everything? Have you become my only hope? That I know there's no place else to turn. The blind man, Jesus says, what do you want? He knew what he wanted, right? I want to receive my sight. He didn't stutter and how many wishes do I get? I want to see, Lord. I want to see. And what did Jesus say? Your faith has healed you. And he could see. And I wonder with us is how desperate are we for God that he's become our only hope, that we're not taking things into our own hands. Well, I'm going to try this and I'm going to try this and I'm going to do this. And then, well, finally, I just had to pray. Finally, that should have been the first thing you did is pray, because we're so desperate for God. The people were abandoning and the people were leaving. And Jesus said, do you want to leave too? And Simon Peter, Lord, where else shall we go? Where else can I go? I was debating on this right here, but I think we're going to finish this sermon tonight. But y'all, I think we have a problem in our church. We're just not really desperate for God anymore. He's not our everything. He's not our hope. We find our hope and our value and work and our family and our abundance and our things. We've turned to everything other than God, and that we're so lost in our thoughts and so lost in our mind that we're saying, God, I'm fasting, I'm giving my life to you, but God's saying, well, what are you even fasting for? What do you want? What do you want? Yeah, you've cut out Mountain Dew, you've cut out television, you've cut this out of your life, but what do you, why? What do you even want from me? In Nehemiah, he had a clear vision. The city was in ruins, and that he knew his only hope was God. Y'all, I think some of us, maybe we need to do some soul searching this morning, and maybe you know, there's one thing in my life I know right now. I need God, and without God, I'm in trouble, and I need help, and I know that's one of the main things that I'm fasting for, but I think many times I lose sight of what are we even doing? And we try to justify our actions. We try to justify our sin. And we don't ever get to the moment of just desperation and crying out to Jesus and saying, Father, you're my only hope. Let's stand. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I understand sometimes what it takes to make us desperate. Lord, sometimes it's a major crisis, a major tragedy. And Father, I pray this morning that it doesn't come to that for each and every one of us, Lord, but that we would be desperate this morning to hear from you. Desperate this morning for deliverance from evil. Desperate this morning to know your voice, to walk with you daily. Lord, that right now that you would be putting a clear vision, a clear thought in our mind, Lord, of you being here with us. Just as the Scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That you're standing at our heart's door this morning and knocking, asking to come in. Do we want you there, Lord? Do we even want you? Father, my prayer this morning is that we do want you, that we need you, that you would be our only hope. May your Holy Spirit just have free rein in here this morning to do a work in our lives, in our minds, in our heart. And that we would be so desperate to hear your voice, to know your voice, and to follow wholeheartedly your commands, your decrees, your laws, and what you tell us to do daily. Have your way now, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. desire and I long to worship Thee.
For any of you that is fasting, I want you to think about this, that just like that text message I got this morning, and like his body was physically desiring what he cut out, you know? And I think sometimes those things, like I talked about last week, they take control so much. But you think about what you're fasting from and the urge that you're having to eat or drink or watch or do whatever it was. How strong is it? Well, it's been one day. It's not that bad. But what about towards the end of the week? And I just ask, is that desire to know God that strong? You know, you think about, we look for excuses to not come to church. We look for excuses to not read our Bible. We look for excuses to not pray. Y'all, if you're desperate for something or someone, you're looking for excuses to be with them. You know, to talk to them. To hang out with them. You desire because you're so desperate for them. You want to hear their voice. I'm ashamed to say I don't always have that desperation for my Lord and Savior. But I want it. He says, my sheep will know my voice. And I want to know His voice. Way back years ago, before some of y'all was even born, we had these things in our homes that hung on the wall or sat on a nightstand, and they had a dial tone and buttons that you dialed. They were called telephones. And you had to pay so much, yeah. You had to pay so much to call long distance. But I remember my grandparents lived up in Michigan. And you had to write letters back then because you couldn't afford to make phone calls. But once every few weeks, they would call us or we would call them. And I was so excited to hear Grandpa and Grandma's voice on the phone and talk to them. I missed them. And it was so exciting to hear their voice. Y'all, are we that excited? As I was writing out this sermon, I kept thinking of that song, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. Y'all, Satan's filling us with the world. Filling us with worldly desires, saying this is going to meet our needs, this is going to be what satisfies, this is what brings us joy, and it's all a lie. The only way we can have peace, the only way we can have joy, is to be desperate for our Heavenly Father. So in these next few weeks, and hopefully it'll turn into a few months and then a few years, may each and every day, may we be desperate for our Father and to know His voice. If you're not coming back tonight, I encourage you to go home and read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to talk about that tonight. You can look at so many different times in the Bible where people were so desperate for God. Esther, before she was going to have to go talk to the king, and she called for a fast. I think it was 3 days she called for a fast before she would go meet with the king. I just want that desperation in my heart. 5:30 tonight, elders meeting. And I got a text message or a phone call, I don't remember which, from Mike. And he wanted me to remind everybody to be sure and tell Amanda happy birthday, because her birthday is Wednesday, I think. I think it's Wednesday, but I'm not for sure. So before y'all leave, and Amanda's going to try and head for that back door real quick, y'all be sure and tell Amanda happy birthday, and we'll see y'all this evening, okay?